Today's reading is the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 to 12. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the desert of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the desert, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel's hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the Jordan River. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And do not think you can say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance. But after me will come one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." This is the Gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ. Well, based on that reading this morning, what sort of a sermon are you expecting, I ask? Wait and see. Interestingly enough, I prepared this sermon, as I normally do, during this coming week. And this morning, whilst I was having my morning cup of tea, while the light was still dark, and doing my morning reading from the service of the day, the gospel reading was from Mark, and it concerned the foretelling to Zechariah and his wife that John was going to be a child. So it's amazing. It's one of the first times I've realised these things are interlinked, you see. But the sermon's not based on that. So did you hear what John said? The wrath of God is coming. It doesn't matter who our family is, the axe is out and ready. Right now, the blade is a... Yes, never mind. Yes. No, you know, you're all right. It's me. I've lost the plot already. Am I going back? I'm going backwards. It should say left and right, but right now the blade is against the tree and the chopping is about to begin. Last week I was paying my autumn visit to my cousin on the Isle of Iona. I didn't just take pictures of sunrises and sunsets. I was there to chop wood for her fire, and so I did. But John went on to state that every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is being cut down and burned. The unquenchable fire is raging, waiting to be fed the chaff. And that's just the beginning. He said a greater one is coming, one more powerful than himself is on the way. After listening to John, it is tempting to look at the Advent wreath with its two lit candles and see the season of Advent as merely the countdown to Christmas, with its bargain Fridays and all the rest of the buying frenzy. So let's leave this wild man behind. We know Christmas came last year. It will come again this year, just as it has for 2,000 years. And it's only two or three more weeks away. So maybe we can discuss John's message as, dismiss John's message as allegory, metaphor, or symbolism. Maybe it's the ramblings of a nutter who spent too much time by himself in the desert eating grasshoppers. Or perhaps we hear the message and think about all those other people to whom it applies. You know, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, someone other than us. But we can't do that. Our church says this viper sermon of John's is the gospel, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. For most of us, though, threats, anger and judgment are not good news. We'd rather hear and think about sweet baby Jesus. But John is definitely not preaching a Christmas sermon. John doesn't mention a beautiful night with a bright shining star to guide us. There are no humble and gentle shepherds guarding their flocks by night, nor are there any wise men bearing gifts from afar. John is not looking at a manger scene where the little Lord Jesus lays down his sweet head. He seems to have forgotten the innocent but faithful virgin. And the name Jesus isn't even mentioned in today's gospel. This is Advent, the season when wrath, axes and unquenchable fire are talked about as good news. John is looking for God to do something drastic right now. John's message is repent, turn or burn. His refrain is wrath, axes and fire. Wrath, axes and fire, God's coming and God's going to get you. I suspect that part of our discomfort with John and his name calling, his preaching of wrath, axes and fire is, or at least should be, that at some level we know he is right. When we look around our world, read our newspapers, watch the evening news or even examine our own lives, we're confronted with the reality of John's sermon. Our world and our lives are not as they should be, as they can be, as God wills them to be. We could each name the sinful or broken places of our lives and world, anger, violence, greed, poverty, homelessness, war, lives controlled by fear, years of guilt that have crippled us. The list could go on and on. There is only one sin worse than the evil itself, and that is indifference to that evil. Indifference is more insidious than the evil itself, more universal, more contagious and more dangerous. Often we live such busy, exhausted lives that we have become indifferent to what is happening in the world, indifferent to the needs of another human being. Maybe our worldview, even our church view, is so small that if something does not directly affect our lives or those we love, then it is of no consequence to us. Sometimes the pain and fear in our lives causes us to be indifferent to those relationships that need forgiveness and reconciliation. Maybe you have become indifferent to yourself and can no longer see the original beauty with which God created you. Perhaps indifference has convinced you that your life is meaningless. Indifference comes in many different forms. It is always sneaky, often disguising itself as freedom or independence. John's cry of repentance is the call to turn away from our indifference, to engage at a life-changing level the coming kingdom and the way that kingdom reorders our relationships and priorities. John's words are words of interrogation. Do we care enough to change our lives and the world in which we live? Do we love enough to get angry about the suffering and plight of other human beings, even if we have never met them? God does. That is why divine wrath, axes and fires are good news. God loves enough to get angry. The good news is that our God is not indifferent. God is not indifferent to creation. God is not indifferent to the evil and suffering of this world. God is not indifferent to God's people. God is not indifferent to your life or my life. God's concern and love for creation are the source of God's anger. Anger is not the opposite of love. The last thing we need is more indifference. The last thing we need is to hear from another that our very existence is meaningless. And God forbid that we should ever say or act as if another's very existence is of no consequence to us. God's anger is the rejection of indifference. God is paying attention and present in this world, in our lives. The anger of God is a form of God's presence and love in this world. God's anger is not offered as a punishment, but as an encouragement to change, to turn our lives around. That can be frightening and even painful. But there is an agony even more excruciating. That is the agony of being forsaken, discarded, betrayed, rejected and abandoned. It is the agony of being the object of indifference. God's anger is never the goal of divine anger. Is not punishment and retribution. Divine anger is the means, the instrument. The goal is love and relationship. Divine anger recognizes and celebrates the existence, the sacredness and the value of every human life. Divine wrath is God's expression of longing for us. It is God saying to you and me, you are worthy of my time and attention. Your lives are worthy of being judged. I care and love you enough to get angry when you settle for less than I am giving you, when you accept that being less than you are called to be. Wrath, fire and axes are God's calling to turn away from, to repent of our indifference. Where does indifference rule our lives? How have we become indifferent to ourselves, to others, even to God? In what ways does indifference deny you the kingdom of heaven? Wrath, fire and axes are not about destruction or punishment. They are about life, love and relationship. The unquenchable fire of God's love burns away our indifference. The healing axe of God cuts away all indifference. The wrath of God reminds us that God cares and we matter. To name the places and ways of our indifference is the beginning of repentance, and the kingdom of heaven has come just a little bit nearer than it was before. So, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Come, Lord Jesus. Amen.